Thank you for listening to Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ.
Tell somebody, say, you stand.
It's KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
What was his number one priority? Well, according to Jesus himself, let's read a couple of statements made by him concerning his priority. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, "Don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear or how you will live, because the Father knows you need those things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to your life." Seek ye first is probably the most important statement of priority. Seek means you got to pursue it. It doesn't come to you. You got to go and pursue knowledge of it. First means it's above everything else, more important than everything else. And the kingdom means it is the object of your pursuit. Seek first the kingdom of God. Righteousness has to do with positioning, relationship to that government of the kingdom. He said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, don't seek food and clothing and cars and houses. He says, stop doing that. That is why Jesus Christ preached with my lips, and don't misunderstand me, look at my lips. He never preached prosperity. Read the four Gospels and show me where he preached prosperity. He didn't. Do you know why? Because in a kingdom, prosperity is normal. That's why the words like commonwealth are only used in kingdoms, because the wealth is common. Everybody is automatically wealthy in a kingdom because it is in the king's best interest for every citizen to be wealthy, because a king's reputation is determined by the status of his citizens. So your prosperity is a government policy in a kingdom. That's why he never admonished the disciples to pursue things. He said things are supposed to be added to your life, not become an object of pursuit. What you should pursue is what? I can't hear you. The kingdom of God. He says focus on the kingdom first and everything else falls into place. How about this one? Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. He says, as you go, he's talking to every pastor, every member of his body, as you go, preach this message. Why does he use the word this? Because he knew that we have other messages. Read the verse again out loud. Read it. As you go, preach this message. What's the message? The kingdom of heaven is near. He says, that's the message you should preach. This implies, I know you will be tempted to preach many other things. But you preach this message. Oh, by the way, this is found in Matthew 10, when he was talking to the disciples about the problems in the world. It was in that chapter 9 and 10, when he said he saw the people like sheep without shepherd, harassed and oppressed by life. And he says, we must find some laborers to go and help them. And then he says, he sent them out and says, preach this message. In other words, the solution to oppression and frustration in society is the kingdom message. They had just saw him heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. He fed 5,000 people. He walked on water. He says, don't preach that. Preach the kingdom. In other words, don't preach my miracles. Preach the kingdom. Uh-oh. Most of our sermons are about his miracles. And if anybody should be tempted to preach the miracles, it should be Peter, James, and John, and Bartholomew, and Matthew. Why? They saw them with their own eyes. He said, no, when you go, guys, don't preach what I did. Preach this message. The kingdom of heaven has arrived. Why? Because miracles are not the message. Miracles are the evidence of the presence of another government. When you read the four Gospels again, and start tonight, just start Matthew, read the first five chapters before you go to bed, you will find that everywhere he said, the Bible always says, and Jesus preached the kingdom of God, and then he healed the sick and raised the dead and cast out demons. In other words, the miracles were evidence of his message. It's the kingdom. He says, pursue the kingdom as you're numbering this week to know the kingdom. And don't number one goal. Look at this one in Matthew 13, verse 11. That's right, this is your Bible. Matthew 13, verse 11. He says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to those outside of the kingdom. That means the kingdom has, can I use the term, secret laws that you got to study and learn? The knowledge of the secret of the kingdom has been given unto you, he says, but not to them. Why? He says, whoever has will be given more. And he who have not, even what he has, will be taken from him. By the way, this is a response to a question they asked him. He was teaching them the kingdom of God, and he gave them this parable about the sower sowing a seed. And they didn't understand him. And they said, why do you speak to the people in parables, and you speak to us plainly? He said, because it's given to you to know the secrets, but not to them. And then he says, because him who has, more will be given. When I did my research in the Hebrew language on this verse in college, I was shocked. The meaning of it is simple. He says, those who want to know more about it, I will tell them more. And those who have no interest, I will make sure they never find it. That's why I speak to them in parables. You see, God will only tell you what you want to know. God will only show you what you want to see. He'll only give you what you really want to receive. In other words, if you don't have an interest in God, God hides himself from you. We say that God is everywhere, omnipresent. That's true. But how do you explain this statement? And you will find me only if you seek me with all your heart. Now, he's everywhere. He said, but you will only find me if you seek me with all your heart, not casually. If you really want to know me, I'll reveal myself. If you don't want to know me, I'll hide myself, he says. What he's saying is, if you don't want to know the kingdom, I will keep it secret. But if you want to know, passionately pursuing it, I will reveal it to you. He says, to you, disciples, you left your boats, you left your farms, you left your family to follow me. I'm going to tell you all the secrets. But those people, they don't leave their farms to come after me. If you are hungering this week to know the kingdom, and don't miss a session, God will give you things he never gave anybody else. He'll reveal to you things you cannot understand until he tells you. God will open your mind this week if you come to every session and say, God, I want to know. I want to know. He says, I will withhold nothing from you. You will have what? Abundance. That's how I got to learn about the kingdom. I became hungry for it. How about this one? His message for the church is found in Luke chapter 4. Watch Jesus, it says these words. And Jesus said, I must preach what? The good news of what? The kingdom of God. To who? All other towns. Because that is why I was sent. Why was he sent? Not to preach a religion, but to preach the kingdom of God to also. I told the crew at the city church how I went to college and I got 3 bachelor's degrees. I got a master's degree and 3 doctorates. I got a degree in theology, graduated with honors. And there was not one class on the kingdom. And Jesus said, he must preach this message of the kingdom. In other words, they qualified me not. If you don't believe me, read this verse. It gets worse. Read this verse. Matthew 24, verse 14. Everybody read. Go. And this gospel. Stop reading. Stop. Stop. Notice he didn't say the gospel. Because he knew we have all these other messages we're preaching. Baptism, faith, prosperity, healing, Holy Spirit. He said, no, this message. Now, don't get me wrong. We preach good messages. But read his instructions. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached. Where? I can't hear you. I still can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. What shall be preaching all the world? This gospel. Why? There are many others. I told you I got a degree from one of the top universities in America. Not one class on the kingdom. I read the writings of the German theologians, St. Augustine, all the deep thoughts of all these deep theologians, not one class on the kingdom. I read Calvinism, not one class on the kingdom. We studied all the different thoughts of the early church, but not one class on the kingdom. And it's the only thing he told us to preach. That's why God is saying, kingdom first. Get back to my first instruction. Why? Because the last part of the verse depends on it. We keep asking God, when will the end come? And so we have a tsunami. And everybody says, the end of the world is coming. So we have 9/11. The world is coming to an end. Earthquake. The world is coming to an end. A drought in Australia. God is coming soon. War in Iran. Oh, it's the last days. Shut up. That's not true. Read the verse. He said, the end will come when you do something. Why is it so quiet? Read the Bible. He placed the end not in heaven's hands. Okay. Let's read the verse together, please. Read, go. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached into a whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. He left the end in our hands. And it's depending on a message, not a terrorist. Clap. God did not place the end of the world in the hands of a war. He didn't submit the end under the control of an earthquake. And so I guess I could probably say with some security that you should unpack your bags. Because we ain't going nowhere. Because the church have not been preaching this gospel. You know, I got an amazing phone call. One of the top theologians said that he is putting my books in their seminary. Because they are trying to find materials on the kingdom for the students in their doctoral programs and can't find them. If you have a Bible school, the question is, what's the